Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Beautiful. I have a library upstairs that's shared by many people, and from time to time, books just disappear. This was one. May I keep this? I'll hide it behind the other ones or something. Okay. Krishna Janmashtami. The appearance of Lord Krishna takes place at midnight. Why Krishna chooses to make his appearance at midnight, who can say? So we can fast all day in honor of his appearance at midnight. Maybe that's one of the reasons. How many of the devotees here have been to the temple in Mathura, which is constructed as a replica, or a memorial for Krishna's birthplace? Who's been to that place? And you've been down where the prison of Kamsa is. So let's go there in your minds. Think of that long, narrow passageway in the prison house. Who knows if that's actually where it was, but it creates a mood. And those of you that have not been to Mathura, may you one day get the opportunity to go and picture in your mind a dungeon. Kamsa's prison house. Now the cover painting makes it look like a palace. But imagine in your mind's eye a dungeon. Not comfortable, not nice brocade carpet and nice ivory chairs and special drapes and lattice marble work in the ceiling, and just a dungeon. And it's the morning before Krishna makes his appearance. It doesn't say when the demigods offered their prayers. Sometime before Krishna's appearance, soon before Krishna's appearance. And we'll be discussing this morning the first of those beautiful prayers offered by the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and many great sages that knew Krishna, that the names are identified. Devala, Vyasa, Narada, and demigods like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, invisibly approached the room of Devaki, were all joined in offering their respectful obeisances and prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bestow blessings upon everyone. So Krishna hasn't made his appearance yet, but these personalities, elevated personalities, they know that Krishna is going to appear. Earlier it was described that Vasudeva and Devaki, they also knew because of the way in which the, as the term is used in Christianity, Immaculate Conception took place from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki to the womb of Devaki, Krishna appeared. From the status of Shuddha Sattva, the Lord makes his appearance. So Vasudeva, the status of pure goodness, brings the appearance of Vasudeva. Because who can, philosophically, who can be the father of God? Answer, no one can be the father of God. So it's a lila, but it's an indication of the way in which God makes his appearance. He chooses to appear, distinct from, we don't choose. We don't choose, okay, I'm going to have to take birth again, so let me pick this mother, this father, born over there, having this opulence. Yeah, that will be a nice arrangement. We don't select. Krishna selects. And when he appears, he doesn't appear in an ordinary way. Although he could appear in an ordinary way and it still wouldn't be ordinary. It's entirely out of his own free will. And in the prayers of the demigods, they're appreciating not only the Lord's transcendental position, but his transcendental purpose. And with reference to the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmad Yasu Yatonvayat Itaratascha Teshu Avigya Surat. That verse ends, Satyam Param Dimahi, indicating the first verse of the Bhagavatam, its invocation. Thus, the whole of the Bhagavatam is a dhimahi, it's a meditation. Dhimahi means meditate upon. Specifically, Jiva Goswami explains this dhimahi is used with Gayatri mantras. Dhimahi, the phrase, because there's many words for meditate, just like in the Eightfold Yoga system. Dhyan, Dharana, Samadhi. There's three more terms that mean meditate. But there are specific implications of Dhyan, Dharana, and Samadhi, as there's a specific implication with Dhimahi. Dhimahi indicates this very special, sacred accessible only to the most qualified persons, the brahmanas, the qualified brahmanas, to enter into that understanding, and the Bhagavata dhimahi, Gayatri. And so it's not only a Vedic mantra and a Vedic process, it's very esoteric, that's the word. It's esoteric, meaning difficult to understand, hidden to the ordinary eye, even if it's presented. And what the Bhagavatam is doing is disclosing that. Satyam Param Dhimahi. The absolute, the highest truth. So the highest truth is indicated in the first phrase. The first phrase, Janmad Yasya Yataha. The first phrase is, the absolute truth is that from which everything else emanates. We don't normally think of truth in that way. we think of truth as opposed to falsity. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. That's our idea of truth. Speak the truth. Or reveal the truth. Tell the truth. But the Vedic conception has a much deeper sense, and that truth is from that from which everything else comes. Or in the first prayer by the demigods, this, I'm emphasizing the word satyam because that's what the verse does. It resonates very nicely with the whole purpose of the entire Bhagavatam, enunciated in the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Satyavratam satyaparam tri satyam satyasya yonim nihitam cha satye satyasya satyam rita satya netram satyatmakam tam sharanam prapana. So the last part, sharanam prapana. We offer my fully surrendered unto you. I offer you my complete surrender. And prapana has the sense of, in so doing, we know that we will be protected. Prapati is a phrase used in Vedic literature, very prominent phrase, popular phrase in the Sri Sampradaya. The followers of Ramanujacharya use this word often, prapana or prapati. It's a same sense, it's the gesture of surrender and the receiving of protection. It's protection specifically of deliverance to Vaikuntha and no longer having contact with material existence. So the demigods, they're the ones that prayed to the Supreme Lord to appear, particularly Lord Brahma, headed by Lord Brahma. The demigods went to the shore of the Milk Ocean and offered their prayers to the Lord, petitioning him to appear on earth. And he told Brahma in reply that he would appear and tell the other demigods who couldn't hear Krishna speaking, but except for Brahma, tell them that they should appear on earth first. So how that worked or works is the demigods under the Lord's order can also expand themselves. So they're still demigods. It wasn't like Satyaloka was empty. They all had a sign out saying, on vacation, see you later in 125 years, earth years. Their expansions appeared. And they knew that the child in the womb of Devaki was the personality of Godhead and is soon to appear. So they're offering their prayers of appreciation, submission, and seeking his protection. Same, because this is the prison house of Kamsa, and Kamsa was terrorizing the earth and beyond the earth. Kamsa was a mean guy and very, very powerful, threatening their own sovereignty, because Kamsa was forbidding or preventing Brahminical culture, which includes propitiations to the various devas. So their business is to support and uphold principles of Dharma. And here's this terrible adharmic personality. So they wanted protection for others, they also wanted their own protection. Sharanam Prapana. So one of the phrases is satyasya satyam. Satya means truth. So of all that is truth, you are the source of truth of all things that are true. In the message of Bhagavad Gita, there's a description. Allow me to wax philosophical for a bit here. There's a description of who is the doer of activity. Commonly, people think, you know, there's this nice platform over here for Janmashtami. Some persons did it. Jitendriya unloaded the platforms from wherever they were stored and put them up, and somebody put the plants and somebody put the cloth and didn't just like poof. Somebody did it as service to Krishna. But Krishna's advice in Bhagavad Gita is, don't think yourself as the doer. Kartaham iti manyate. Karta means the doer. Thinking of oneself as the doer is illusion. Or the kartritvam na karmani lokasya srijate prabhu. Krishna's advice is, don't think of yourself as the performer of activity, nor the cause of the results of your activity, nor that you induce others to act. All this is being carried out by material nature. And the wise person understands in that way. Okay, then material nature, put up the platform. Is that what it means? No. But we're being carried by material nature. It's the material nature that's doing so many things under modes. Goodness, passion, ignorance, and mix. So that's how material events take place. But then further Krishna describes, in the 18th chapter, text 14, Krishna describes that there are five factors to action. There's the place, adhishthanam. There's the performer, karta. There's some endeavor. There's some instruments. And ultimately, there's the supersoul. So, even when we're doing, so let's take the all five have to be present, otherwise action doesn't take place. Ultimately, the supersoul is there, and one can say, well, he doesn't need anything. But he manifests anything in order to make things happen. This is nice understanding. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, Maitreya is describing this to Vidura, that before creation, there was only one thing, or one entity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His energy was not manifest, living entities were not manifest, expansions were not manifest, there was only one thing, the Supreme Lord, as the only seer. There was nothing to be seen. But he felt something. That feeling was, this is incomplete. And it wasn't like he was bored. It was, there are living entities who are rebellious. Here is the internal potency. I'm with Rama Devi and ultimately with the whole of the spiritual world. But there are living entities who are presently dormant, and I want, the incompleteness is compassion. I want them to be able to be again with me. But they don't want that. And not only that, there's my external energy. And she has nothing to do. But she wants something to do. These two desires, then let me bring about creation. So, his just by that Ichha Shakti, by his desire, the energy expanded. With a purpose. The purpose, living entities can have an opportunity to come again to Krishna. And his external energy has something to do. It's to assist in that effort, but it's also to keep the rebellious, spirited souls distant from the Lord. So it's these two functions. Now we have fast forward in time, and we want things to happen. So there's good things and there's bad things. The very phrase is used by Kapila Dev, or by Maitreya. Sad asad. Just as Krishna uses, sat asad yoni janmasu. The good and the bad is dependent upon our disposition. So if we want to do something for Krishna, we're dependent upon Krishna. We can't just go and do it. So supposing you have four of the things. You have a place. And Prabhupada translates that as a body. Okay, so we have a body. And there's a soul within the body. That's good. So now we're halfway there. Now we make some endeavor. Whoops, let's not make some endeavor. We have some instruments, like hands, indriyas, and maybe implements in our hands. That's also instruments. So we have a body. We have senses. We have a soul that's inhabiting the body. But without an endeavor, the platform isn't going to go up. So, let me make some endeavor. Well, we can make some endeavor, but without Krishna's sanction, as they say in the vernacular, it ain't going to happen. So take away any of those. Krishna manifests the four to accomplish his purpose. This is the message I want to communicate. The other four, the living entities, the place, the instrument, the capacity to endeavor, it's all manifested by Krishna. In one sense, it's Krishna, or it's Krishna's energy. It's all there is. Krishna's energy and Krishna. So Krishna sanctions, we make some endeavor, and the platform goes up. But without Krishna's sanction, even our faith that we can put the platform up isn't going to happen. The plan, you know, the components, it's all dependent upon Krishna. And bad things too, like, you know, the thief, he wants to steal. Even, to go through the exercise of stealing, he can't. Unless Krishna makes his faith strong and gives him the intelligence in the whole program. Good things, bad things, they're dependent upon Krishna. That's reality. So wherever there's a truth, you know, Your Honor, he stole somebody's property. I'm speaking the truth, I'm under oath. But, you know, the deeper truth is he couldn't have done it without sanction. Satyasya satyam. Nothing can happen without Krishna. Nothing happens without... It's not only nothing happens without endeavor. Lots of people endeavor for all kinds of things that don't happen. And something else happens instead of what they're endeavoring for. It goes on all the time. So Krishna's sanction. Krishna's intelligence. The faith to even undertake something, you know, to walk across the floor. You can't do that. You can't have the faith without Krishna supporting the faith. You know, the other types of worship that, people do, the worship of demigods or whatever is going on in the spiritual marketplace, people have faith in. Where do they get that faith? You can't do it if you don't have faith. Unless you're a fool. And then, you know, there has to be faith in foolishness. Everything is dependent upon Krishna. So that's what the demigods are saying. Satyasya satyam. And then there's pleasing truths and unpleasing truths. Or there's truths that are spoken pleasingly, and there are truths that are spoken the opposite, harshly. So the next is Rata Satya Netram. Rata Satya Netram. Rata means that which is pleasing. Rita Netram Satyam. That which is all that is pleasing and is true, you are the source of that. And that is you. Satya Vratam. Satya Vrata. One who is true to his vow. So that's Krishna. We speak like that about somebody. There's Satya, it's King Satyavrata. It's a name of a person, but it's, you know, Krishna, their propitiation is you, my dear Lord Krishna, are true to your vow. Because he's not dependent upon anything or anyone else to make his vow or his volition happen. We are. Even if it's something good, we can make a vow that says, I will chant my 16 rounds, or I will, you know, be on time to be at you know, some appointment. You know, I will perform Mangalarti at 4:30 every morning, or something. We can't be true to our vow unless Krishna gives his support. I mean, you know, so we can't say, oh, Krishna didn't want to give his support, so I'm late, I'm sorry. No good. But he's perfect. He's infallible in keeping his vow. And that's what they say. The demigods prayed, oh Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect. Because whatever you decide is perfectly correct. And it cannot be stopped by anyone. See, he is independent. We're not. If we're devotees, Krishna will support our vows. That's his nature. He's bhaktavatsala. Like Narada says, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, you become trees. So they became trees. But then you'll be delivered by Krishna in the backyard of the court of Nanda and Yasoda. So Krishna considered when he's tied with the grinding mortar by the rope of Mother Yasoda, okay, I have to make the word of Narada good now because Narada said it, so I have to uphold the word of Narada. It's Krishna. He maintains the word of his devotee. Or so many examples. Bhishma took a vow. Krishna will break his word, or Arjuna will die. Krishna made me break my word. Krishna will break his word. So Krishna upheld Bhishma's statement by breaking his word. Because the word of Krishna's devotee, Krishna holds more dear than his own word. That's Krishna's word. That's Krishna's promise to his devotee. And so he asks Arjuna, you say, Arjuna, my devotee will never be vanquished. Because when you say it, everyone knows that's going to happen. Because Krishna may be in a compromised situation where his word and Bhishma's word are in conflict. He's infallible. They understand, the demigods understand that. Even their own power is fully dependent. In the Sri Brahma Samhita, Brahma is praying, but he's referring to himself. Yach chakshur esha savita sakala grahanam raja samasta sura yasya gyaya pramati sambhita kala chakra govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. The sun is compared to the eyes of the Lord. This we know from also from Bhagavad Gita, the universal form. This eye is find the verse. Yeah. Amongst all the planets, sakala grahanam, the sun is like Krishna's eye, and it's moving on its journey throughout space simply on the will of the personality of Godhead, moving, he says, out of fear of the Supreme Lord. We find this in Vedic literature, that the translation, the sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. And the sun is pursuing, performing his journey, mounting the wheel of time, sakala grahana. He's the sun, which energizes the entire universe, is moving by the will of Krishna. Lord Brahma is also described as being like as the sun gives, what's the word? Sparkle to jewels, certain jewels, and the light of the sun, they sparkle. So also, that Brahma is saying, so also I, with my creative potency, am receiving the fullness of my capacity to do creation from you, and for that matter, all living entities. You are situated within the heart of all living entities, and whatever capacity any living entity has to do anything is coming from you. So the demigods are praying to the Supreme Lord in the same way. Satyasya yonim nihitam chasatye. Satyasya yonim, you are the source of birth of all truth. You're the truth of all truth. You're the source of birth of all that is true. And then you enter it. So Krishna has entered into the womb of Devaki, and they're offering their prayers. They're similarly saying, nihitam cha satye. You have entered into everything, the moving and the non-moving, the animate and the inanimate. That's you. So you're the Antaryami. You are the super soul within the heart of every living being. Although you're the super soul within the heart of every living being, you're appearing in the womb of Devaki. And you're going to perform pastimes. And you're going to protect us. It's fascinating. I mean, it's a little bit like, it's not exactly the same, because this is, he's still in the womb, but it's a little bit like Kunti's prayers, where she's saying, you are the super soul within the heart of every living being. The Krishna standing before her, she's the aunt of Krishna, her brother's son. Here's her brother's son saying, you are the Supreme Lord who is situated in the heart of every living being. She's very clear about that. And she's feeling awkward and uncomfortable with Krishna offering her respect. Because of that, you're the super soul. And you, here you are, you've appeared before us. How fortunate we are. You're making yourself visible. But then you have this relationship with me where I'm your superior. And I don't like that. I'm offering you obeisances. So here it's demigods. They're less confidential than Queen Kunti, but they have a similar understanding. You are the super soul. You have entered within the heart of every living being. You're the rest and support of all living beings' existence and all that is truth within them and all that they're capable of doing, ourselves included. And you're just about to appear. You've taken shelter in the womb of Devaki, and soon you're going to appear and give protection to all of us. Therefore, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. And the preceding verse is, I read it, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the one who can bestow blessings upon everyone. The demigods are used to people approaching them, please give me your blessings. I want this, I want that, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare. The demigods are saying to the Supreme Lord, you're the one who can give benedictions to everyone. And, in particular, ourselves, we're asking for your protection. Now, one way of seeking protection is from harm. But a higher sense of seeking protection is protection from illusion. Because, as Prabhupada says hundreds and hundreds of times, the root of all unhappiness and of all suffering is ignorance. The root of all pain and suffering is ignorance. Please protect us from ignorance. Now those very same demigods that are offering their prayers, later on, Lord Brahma, he tests Krishna. Lord Indra, he challenges Krishna. Varuna, at least his associates, have kidnapped Nanda Maharaj wrongfully, thinking that he broke a codicil on the Dwadasi day in the wrong way, and so they took him to Varuna's abode. They've done things that are disrespectful, to say the least. In Indra's case, disrespectful to Krishna. So Krishna protects them. Krishna restored their position of their proper understanding of him, their proper regard for him. So the demigods are understanding, as we should understand, in the course of trying to serve Krishna, we make mistakes. So the prayer is, in the course of serving you, my Lord, please protect us from the illusion of seeing anything other than you. Just like in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, where Lord Brahma is offering his prayers to the personality of Godhead who appeared before him, the Lord is asking him to accept a benediction from him. So Brahma is very clever. He asked for more than one benediction. But one of the benedictions he requested was, when I'm engaged in my service to you, so that's creating a universe, when I'm engaged in my service to you, please protect me from the misconception that I'm creating a universe. I'm doing a service. We're one of five factors of action. We're making some endeavor. What is it that we're doing? We're serving. And whatever may become manifest, that's the Lord's mercy. Just to be engaged in his service is the Lord's mercy. Please protect us. So in the course of the day, we're going to be doing lots of services for Krishna. As the demigods are praying to Krishna, let us pray to Krishna before his appearance at midnight. So many services that we're going to be doing, please protect us from the foolish misconception that we're doing so many things. We're trying to do some humble service. And if the Lord is very kind, he'll give us the strength, he'll give us the intelligence, he'll give us the faith, he'll give us the resources. If he so desires, all of those things will happen. But while we're doing that, Krishna, please protect us. Satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapana. You're going to appear at midnight. Please protect us in the course of our service to serve you nicely. That we not fall prey to illusion. That we recognize it is you that we're honoring. It's you that we're serving. And all that is pleasing will be manifest coming from you. We're simply wishing to remain in the mood of your humble servant. This is essentially what the demigods are saying, because very soon Krishna is going to appear. And they'll be assisting him in his pastimes after he appears. He's come because of their fervent, at least one of the reasons for his descent, was their fervent appeal. Please come and protect Mother Earth. So this is the mood of advanced and very knowledgeable devotees. When the Lord responds, yes, I will appear, it's not like, okay, we can relax now. We have to remain very attentive in serving him carefully and regarding him properly and not falling prey to the features of illusion that say, I'm doing so many things. Maybe there'll be time in the course of the morning or afternoon, sometime today, to read further from the Bhagavatam. I'll just read the verse, the full translation. See if there's some questions. The demigods prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, Trisatyam, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the Supreme Truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, in all the ingredients of creation, and therefore you are known as the Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone, for all time. You are the beginning of all truth, therefore, offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. Prabhupada refers to this one other comment. He refers to Prahlad Maharaja's prayer to the personality of Godhead, saying it in reverse, that essentially if parents normally think of themselves as the guardians of children, and they should think of themselves as that's their service. But even if parents extend the greatest of protection, if that is not sanctioned by the Supreme Lord, they cannot protect. And a doctor, a physician, may administer medicine, but the best of medicine by the best of doctors cannot cure a disease without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the real protector, the real healer, the real place of shelter is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, O Supreme Lord, we surrender unto you. You are our real protector in all that we do. Okay, so any comments or questions? Yes?
Maharaj, you referred about the constituents of the karmas, the five constituents.
Yeah.
And which one we should consider as the most effective in our spiritual life?
Well, all have to be there. I mean, ultimately is super soul. And therefore, any endeavor should be for the pleasure of Krishna, because his sanction is everything and his satisfaction is everything. So, you know, that one aligns the other four. So it's the most important. But we can't do without the other four either. So they're also important. Krishna supplies them, if he so chooses, to provide the means to fulfill the number one.
Maharaj, how can I understand, is Krishna who sanctions for those who do wrong or for those who are against spiritual life?
Yeah. An atheist can't be an atheist without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. Nobody can do anything. The example Prabhupada would often refer to, commonly referred to, is the thief. Where does the intelligence for the thief come from? Just like Prahlad Maharaj, when asked by Hiranyakashipu, where are you getting your power from? Prahlad's answer was, from the same place you are. So where's the power for Hiranyakashipu coming from? The same place as Prahlad's. Without exception. Now, that the Lord sanctions for the atheist to be an atheist, the demigod worshiper to be a demigod worshiper, his devotee to be a devotee. It's impartial, as this verse is saying. You're equal to everyone. At the same time he's equal to everyone, he is stating this is his preference. Because he's not a stone, he's a person. This is my preference. And those that subordinate their will to Krishna's will, that person, because of doing so, receives the fullness of Krishna's mercy. So it looks like partiality. Looks like partiality. They're very dear to Krishna because they hold Krishna very dear to them. Okay.
Maharaj, thank you for the class. There is a question which always arises in my mind, because I heard that modes of nature are inert.
Modes of nature are inert. Yep.
But we also hear that everything happens under the influence of the modes of nature.
Yeah.
So they seem contradictory.
No. There's an animating factor to the modes of nature. Otherwise, they're inert. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. How does Krishna activate the inert modes of nature? His adyaksha. What does that mean? His seeing. He's very powerful. He just has to see. And that which is inert becomes apparently animate or activated. Just like a copper wire plugged into an electric socket. It's just copper wire. But you touch the end, it's a live wire. But it's just copper wire. Electricity is being carried by the copper or whatever the material is. So the matter acts because behind matter is Krishna's adyaksha. And in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna adds a second component. Anumanta. He permits. But that permit means he can say no too. And he doesn't have to do anything. Didn't even have to say it. Okay, I give my permission. It just happens. By his sanction. And his adyaksha. So he's antaryam. And Krishna doesn't even have to look at every atom from the spiritual world. He expands as Shiradakshay Vishnu, who is the one who's Maya Dyaksha, is overseeing everything. It's subtle. Therefore, material nature is carrying out everything, but material nature doesn't act independently. It's inanimate, as you say. Dull matter. But dull matter appears to be conscious. If there's the presence of the soul and the sanction of the super soul. Something else? Yes, another one?
Yeah. What is the difference between Krishna and his plenary portions?
What's the difference? I've never been asked that question before. There's sameness there of departure eva. So like a lamp has the same, the one lamp lighting another lamp, the same power, but a difference is that the expansions of Krishna, depends on which ones they are, categories, but they don't manifest the fullness of Krishna's 64 qualities. There are four qualities which they do not manifest. Another difference is their mood toward Krishna is to serve Krishna, and he's kindly receiving their service. Although they're Vishnu Tattva, they have this mood. They wish to serve him. Certain of them, they're in for dealing with the affairs, the Purusha avatars, or Purusha expansions, therefore dealing with the matter of creation. But there's, you know, then it gets really technical. The science of it is described by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami. Some of Krishna's expansions are identical unto himself, like Krishna's expanding various forms of himself to perform rasa dance or to live in the palaces of his 16,000 queens, or his expansions for pleasing King Bahulashva and the Brahmana Satya. What's the Brahmana's name? Shrutadev. So those are expansions where there's non-difference, but there's expansions where there's difference. Some of the differences just mentioned. And there's all technical terms, tadikatva rupa, and very technical. Yeah? Go ahead.
Yeah, for example, like Paramatma, we say Paramatma is Krishna, but Paramatma is not Krishna. He's a plenary expansion.
And therefore the Achintya Veda Abheda Tattva philosophy applies even to Vishnu Tattva expansions.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. But we can say Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. And it's true. By means of his expansion. Yes.
Maharaj, you say that Krishna is like Anumanta, and there is one verse also there, it is Ubdrashta.
Yeah.
Anumanta and Ubdrashta.
Yeah.
So as a part and parcel and a spirit soul, so is a soul also like minute is Anumanta and Ubdrashta?
I got the first part. What was the question part?
This Krishna is like Anumanta and Ubdrashta.
That's the part that I got.
So as a part and parcel of Krishna, as a spirit soul, so we are also like minute of Anumanta and Ubdrashta, because we also got this, you know, body.
Are you saying, is your question that the living entity also Anumanta Ubdrashta?
Yeah,
because
so,
we're part and parcel of Krishna.
Yeah.
You always have these really like amazing questions. We're going to miss you. Amazing questions. We'll I can answer it in different language, but I'll answer it this way. A qualified yes. Qualified in the sense that upon Krishna's sanction, yes. Okay, for example, your shoes are out in the hall, perhaps. So you're deciding whether you're going to put your shoes on or not. With sanction, you can put your shoes on. Without Krishna's sanction, you can see your shoes, and you can permit your shoes to be on your feet, and it's not going to happen. So that capacity, to some degree, is ours in a very minute way. It's not expansive. We're not seeing everything and permitting everything. But in the limited way, we're seeing something and permitting something, provided Krishna's sanction is there.
Because, like, you know, if I'm sitting here, like, if I desire to move my hand, so, but unless as a spirit soul, if I not give, you know, if not, like, give sanction to my, you know, my
that's
false
right.
ego,
that's right.
So I cannot even, you know.
Yeah, it's limited. We have very tiny portion of Krishna's qualities. You can be the spirit soul within the body, and you're paralyzed. Or you can be kicked out of your body. You know, if it's not sanctioned by Krishna, we can't do anything. But to the degree that Krishna's sanction is there, proportionate, we can do some small amount of seeing and sanctioning. You know, let's take the position of a king. It's his duty to see and to sanction. He's empowered. If he's properly situated, he's empowered to do that. So that's, you know, in a larger scale, but you take it to a smaller scale. Or the demigods, to an even larger scale. So there's some capacity depending upon the sanction of the Supreme Lord. Very minute. And dependent, both.
Other question is like about door mentality, doorship. If you take example about like computer, you know, like computer also there is a mind and there is intelligence, they calculate and then store, you know. So like electricity is the activate of the computer. So like it is like same thing, like, you know, is like all this Brahmad is like activated by, you know, because of Krishna is there, so he just activate and automatic is, you know.
Not automatic. I think you're asking another very thoughtful question, which is different than your first one. But it's a little bit more like hers. You know, matter is inanimate, but we can activate a machine. But the activation of the machine is dependent upon the activating jiva. So the body is a machine, the computer is a machine, there's all types of machines. Prakriti. Machines are simply inanimate, but they can be moved by an operator. And electricity is also matter. You can have electricity and a computer doesn't work. You can have a body that's, you know, got a heart and senses and all, you know, all the equipment is there, but it's not working. If I've understood your question correctly, you're probing the relationship of a machine and the relationship between the operator of the machine, even if the machine has its electricity, its, you know, its energizing factor. Plug your computer in and nothing happens unless you press the keys, unless you operate the machine, even it's powered.
My question, like we are just...
I'm not hitting your question.
This body, senses, mind, intelligence.
Yeah.
This all considered as a jada, not without, you know, like dead body is there.
Yeah.
Suppose there is a body is there, mind is there, intelligence is there. But if there is no soul, if there is soul, then it's activate.
Okay. Okay.
Like if there is no soul, then mind also not activate. The intelligence there is not, it will not activate.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Like the computer that has electricity plugged in, it's activated. But without the operator, it's the touch of spirit. In either case, whether it's the operating computer or moving the body, it's a machine that requires the presence of a conscious soul. Without the presence of the conscious soul making some endeavor, nothing happens. It's an activated machine that doesn't do anything. Okay? All right. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Shri Krishna Janmashtami ki Jai.